Welcome to the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear. This afternoon, we're going to be talking with Dr. Lindsay Wisner, a clinical psychologist in Long Island, New York. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All righty. So before we get started in the subject, which is actually on the movie The Joker and how not only Hollywood, but our society plays into mental health, I wanted to make sure that you go ahead and talk about your podcast, Neurotic Nourishment, and also your book, that 10 Steps to Finding Happiness, that comes out on March 20th of 2020.
Brian, for a second, I thought you were going to do a trigger warning and I was going to laugh at you.
oh, no, it's coming. Don't you worry.
Okay. Trigger warning, although Brian and I are not sure how we feel about trigger warnings. Yes, my name is Lindsay Wisner. I'm a clinical psychologist in Long Island, New York. I specialize currently in adults with anxiety as well as teenagers with suicidal ideation. I have a podcast called Neurotic Nourishment. You can find that anywhere you find any podcast, because I just think it's a vague answer, but it's appropriate. And and I do have a book coming out on March 20th of 2020. The book is called 10 Steps to Finding Happy, and we are coming out on the United Nations International Day of Happiness in order to celebrate happiness. And also, it's an acknowledgement that it's not just about financial or social well-being. It's also about an emotional component that we should count on to make us happy. This is not my thing. This is a UN thing, but I am grateful to be a part of it.
So you're using the politically correct word of happy.
I am using the bejoodles out of it. Yes.
Okay. There you go. I don't want no one to be mad that you assumed their feeling.
Okay? Right, right. I don't assume any of your feeling, nor do I assume that if you read this book, it will make you happy. Because I'm not sure what happy is, but I do think that if you read the book, it might give you ways to make you happier.
In your, based upon your own beliefs or based upon your own.
You want me to pull out my PhD here? No, I'm just
do
kidding.
It. Do it.
No,
do
it. I just think
big
that,
words.
Honestly, Brian, I think that when, we used to, nowadays, my children will tell me when they're bored, and I'm not interested in when you're bored, because I think that being bored or being happy or being stimulated takes some activity. And so don't tell me you're bored if you're just sitting there and I've banned you from the electronics. Like, make an effort. And similarly, if you engage in new activities that stimulate your neurotransmitters and dopamine and norepinephrine and epinephrine receptors, it actually makes you happier. So make an effort to be happy or happier, and you will, but don't expect happiness as your default.
I got you. So I don't want to get all podcaster on here.
Get all podcaster on here. I don't care.
Well, the only reason I say that is because, you know, I actually found you in one of the podcast groups that we're both in. But when you said that, it reminded me, like, every day or like 4 or 5 times a day, somebody's on there like, how many audience do you need to be happier? Or when do you know your podcast is successful? And it aggravates me so much.
That's a really good point. So what's your answer?
They're very subjective.
But what's your answer?
See, my answer would be my podcast is successful when it helps somebody else. Whether it's, you know, this is an example that I use, because, you know, I'm a Bible thumper, okay? So this is
we forget each other for this.
but you know, I use the example of Billy Graham, okay? Billy Graham is said to have saved over 58 million souls or whatever. But the point is it took one person to save Billy Graham for Billy Graham to save all those people.
Which I think is actually really beautiful. Damn it! But, I hate to agree with you, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
daggum Trump supporters
Wait,
and
I'm
the
not a Trump supporter. It's you. Yeah.
and that's what I'm saying. And those
I'm a trigger. Yeah.
yeah, you're yeah, one of those. So are you a Hillary or a Monica supporter?
I would say neither. Like, I would say neither because I brought my children, like, I have a daughter and a son, and I brought them both, mostly for my daughter, to vote for Hillary, but it was not because I thought she was the best candidate. It was more because I wanted to show her that a woman has never been elected as, president, and that women can make a difference. And it was less than that. I thought her credentials were particularly impressive. I'm actually kind of rooting for Chelsea. I know it's awful, but that's what I'm rooting for.
Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, you heard of her?
Yeah, I was just making sure, but you did know I asked you if you supported Clinton or Monica.
Yeah, but you said Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary or Monica.
Yeah, I don't support Hillary or Monica. I support Chelsea. I think that I think she I think she's a badass bitch who is intelligent enough to make her way. Maybe. But otherwise, I'm not doing like a gender line division.
I talk about Monica Lewinsky, right?
Is there another Monica in a blue? Yeah, I did.
I just wanted to make sure that that didn't go over your head. Okay, so anyways,
I wish we were on video so you could see my face. It's like a confused dog slash cat face going, is there another Monica? Yeah, I got
I just want to make sure you got
it.
it. Sometimes when you go to school, the smarter you get in one area, the other stuff just, falls out. Like I don't have none
Oh
because,
my God, good news, Brian. I'm not that smart. I didn't do that well in school.
You just made it enough to get your doctorate degree, but other than that, the rest is out the window.
I know a lot of dumb people with a doctorate, but yes, go on.
Yes, I know a lot of, it's funny that you say that before we get on this. So, I'm from the South, and I have met some of the, if educationally, they were the dumbest people you could meet, but as far as like living it. Experience and just common sense. Like they'll say something and like you want to write it down because it's like Jesus is saying it. Like it's just so clever what they're saying. And you're just like, how did you not make it in school? Because they're like, well, I had to leave school in the third grade to help my family during a depression or, we would have starved to death or, whatever happened.
But which I think is huge. Like, I'm not even gonna get into the Jesus reference, but like, the truth is, we all have to do what we all have to do to get by. And like, yes, fortunately, I was born with this white privilege, and I was given opportunities, and probably more so than I would have been had I been born, 10 miles to the left or the right, or like a socioeconomic difference. But I also, damn, I worked my ass off to show people that I wasn't what they
White
expected. What'd you say?
privileged.
No, I am white privileged. I am. No, I'm not going to deny that. I 100% am white privileged, but I'm also a woman. I'm blonde. I have big boobs. I used to be hot a few years ago, and what that amounts to is like if I'm going to say something and want people to respect me, I gotta say it well, or at least loudly. And although I am loud, it's more like well. I am all for like I okay, so here's a weird thing, but I absolutely believe that this whole we have like it's not segregation, but we definitely look at people differently based on their color, their race, their features. And it's normal and natural and not necessarily good, but
Well,
it's biological.
I think it has a lot to do with what's it called? Confirmation bias.
Oh, Brian, I'm impressed. Confirmation bias is good. I
Hey,
like that. Yep.
I'm a dumb hillbilly, but I do have some education.
You're not so dumb. You just like to play it so you can,
You didn't see my wink in there.
Because you couldn't manage to work the physical mental camera thing. Just kidding. No, it's
Says the woman that couldn't get her headphones to plug into her phone.
not. Totally true. No, it's not about a physical or a mental. It's about the fact that I think we are born fearing people that are different than us.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is if you already have that fear, or
You.
you already have that perspective, as soon as you see something, then you're just going to grab and run on it. And it's kind of like the saying that, somebody can tell you 100 times that they love you and you'll forget it, but they tell you that they hate you one time and it'll stick with you forever.
So
And it's
that sounds like a fucked up relationship, but I will tell you, Brian, that 100%, like we are born with like an internal bias towards people that are different from us. And the reason is because people that look similar to us are more likely to have a similar DNA, a similar clan, a similar like caveman attitude, and therefore you want these people to succeed because they are more likely to have you succeed. In truth, we've outgrown that. Most of
Yeah,
us,
because
some of us.
that's not really how it works anymore. Because now someone that looks like you is more likely to harm you than someone that looks differently than you.
I
And
don't. That
I don't
sounds
understand why.
a little crazy pants. I don't know that that's true, but I certainly like the fact that you're pointing out like what was once, new is old now and not informative,
Well, what I mean, like if you look at big cities, so. You can look at Chicago, you can look at Los Angeles, you can look at San Francisco, you can look at New York City, you can look at all these places, and a lot of the crime statistics are people that look the same that are killing each other compared to people that actually look different. You know?
Are we going to like a semi-racist perspective?
No, what I'm saying is like
I'm
as
asking, like, I am legitimately
no no
asking
no
just so you can
ask
clarify. Yeah.
no, I'm serious. So in and obviously it has a lot to do with the population. So if you have a larger whiter population than you do anybody else, then it's gonna be white people killing white people. If you have a larger black population, anybody else is blacks killing blacks. If you have a larger Mexican than anything else, it's Mexicans killing Mexicans. If you have a larger native like on the reservation,
But
then
that's a numbers game. Like the more you have, the more you get. Agreed.
right. And that's all I'm kind of saying is, when you like you said, we separate ourselves based upon who we are. So when you socialize only with people that you identify as, then you also put yourself in sometimes the worst positions that you can get into, which often lead you into bad areas. And the reason why I say that is, like you said, you was raised as middle class. I was raised in a trailer park as white trash, and I'm mixed.
But do you think that if we saw each other, because there's like a gray area between us, do you think that if we saw each other, we would feel strongly one way or the other? I'm
You're too,
hot, by the way.
you're too, you're too, you're too blunt, and I just don't care. So
Wait, I thought I was so good saying I was hot, but go on, yeah. Go on, I'm just I you know me well enough to know I'm just teasing, but go on.
oh yeah, I think that's called conceited, but I'll have to ask my shrink. I'll ask her on Facebook. I just won't say LOL because apparently that makes her not friends with me anymore.
Jesus. Okay, go on. I'm listening.
But no, I really think that people that don't get out of their mindset. Okay, so I listened to your podcast today that you did, and I absolutely love it because
What is the name of my podcast?
Neurotic Nourishment.
I'm just checking. As long as you're going to
I just
badmouth me, I want to hear
oh
it.
no, I really liked it, and the reason why I liked it, and I've told you before, and there's a lot of veterans and people that are on my page, and they absolutely hate psychologists and psychiatrists and
And well, they
anybody.
should. And by the way, and well, they should, because there are many people that are not qualified and fuck this shit up. But go on. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean that unfortunately that's true because you can go in there and you can sit down with a person and then they start most of your mental health professionals are like that I've known, so you know more than me, obviously. But they're like super, 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 super liberal.
Wait, can you just
So,
not Please don't assume that I know more than you, because I feel like
No,
I'm
people.
not offended. No, I'm not offended. I just want, like, I value what you have to say. Otherwise, it wouldn't have a podcast, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean that you being in that field, you
No,
would
I'm
know
an
more
asshole
people.
that went to school longer than you. Just say it. It's fine.
Well, no, I mean people in the field, not that you physically know more than me or you like intelligently know more than me, but you would know more psychiatrists than me or more psychologists than me.
Possibly, but you would
That
also know more experience than me.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, but like I may know five and you probably could name five that you saw today, you know what I mean? But for the ones that I know and the ones that I've seen, if well like I talked we done talked about I'm a Bible thumper. So when I go into
But
a
by the way, can we get back to the Bible thumper? Because I'm totally curious, but go on.
So when I go in there and they start talking to me and stuff and they're like, okay, well, what keeps you going on a day to day? And I'm like, my faith. And then I can always tell who is like super against religion, who is like way too into religion, and who is like somewhat in the middle by their reaction. And that's, I can pretty much tell just from that answer if we're going to get along or not. And then also, when we start talking and then things come up like, gun control or my feelings about certain things, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is I need to go ahead and leave because this isn't going to go nowhere.
All right, Brian, you're not leaving, so let's go back. So
Okay, let's talk
what
about
are
me.
your feelings? No, I'm taking over. Fuck that. What are your feelings about religion?
So I went to school to be a minister.
What drove you to that? Like, what made you do that?
So
And I'm not, I literally
it's
love,
kind of
let me just, hold
it's
on. Let me just put this out there. I'm not judging. I'm legitimately curious. And when I am judging, I'll tell you, I'm judging.
yeah, but like this isn't the professional Lindsay. This is the personal Lindsay.
Pretty much all of the above. So.
No, so that's a good question because I don't think I've actually mentioned that in any of the 12 episodes. And I probably should have, but so growing up, church was used as a way for my parents to get us out of the house for different things that they wanted to do without us being around.
I don't want to say it, but you know what I'm thinking. Okay.
It was never
Sorry. I'm
it it no,
sorry.
you're good. No, you're good. It was never intended on me to be a Christian. It was never intended for, like, there's no good intentions. We'll just put that, okay? There was no good intentions whatsoever. It was definitely to get us out of the house.
But do you not
So,
think being a good Christian is a good intention? Because I think it is, like, I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a Christian, but I think it is.
well, no, I'm saying that's not the reason why my parents sent me to church, because
Fine.
they did,
Apologies. Okay.
they didn't go. They
Okay.
just sent, they sent us on the church bus. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like they did it to get us out of the house.
Okay, fine.
So then I grew up and I was like, I believed in God and I believed in Christ, but then I was like, you know what? I'm a stubborn teenager. I'm gonna do whatever the hell I want to do. So then I started cage fighting, which is pretty awesome.
Wait, hold on, pause, because I want to go. I totally want to talk about cage fighting. Okay, go.
About which part?
I don't know all the parts. This only reminds me of Wolverine, so go.
Okay.
No, I mean, well, obviously,
So
Brian, wait, Brian, if I say something or ask something that makes you uncomfortable, stop me, but like this sounds amazing. But but it's largely because my kid is a huge fan of like Marvel comics, so we have a lot of random shit in our house that's built on. But go on, okay.
all right, welcome to Neurotic Neuroscience with your host, Dr. Lisney Weisner. I'm her guest, Brian Locklear.
Stop. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, it's a good point.
No, I am sorry. This is Brian Locklear's podcast, and it is amazing. And he has been lucky enough. I'm sorry. I've been lucky enough to have him on as a guest. But dear Lord, can we talk about cage fighting? Okay, go.
All right, so I ended up finding a Craigslist ad from a and I did a whole nother podcast on this with another guy. And I'll
By
send
the
it to you
by,
later.
that's how all good things start with those
So
Craigslist ads.
yeah, this guy who is like one of my best friends now, he basically put a post on Craigslist, and he was like something to the effect of, do you want to smash someone's head in? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And he's like, if so, here's my address. And
Wait, hold
when
on. But although you said that, you didn't mean literally because that would be bad. But it was a good way to express your feelings.
do I want what was
Brian,
wrong
just say yes.
about what?
No, because we all have feelings and emotions. We don't actually want to act out on them.
Add that on what?
I am trying to protect you.
Oh, you're talking about smashing someone's face in? What? I mean, that's what you call it when you're in a cage fighting. I mean, that's really what you're trying to do. You know
Which
what I
is
mean?
amazing. Yeah, I mean, I guess as a woman, I don't. No one ever offered me that option, but so I think my point was like, let me protect you, but you're right. Okay, go on.
So I answered it, and I went down there, and it was at a church, and that was a location.
Obviously.
And
I mean, where else would it be? Yeah.
I was like, okay, God, this is what we're doing, huh? I thought I was at the wrong building. I put the wrong address in, but then I saw this big giant dude with no shirt on and like MMA shorts on, and he just like went walking down with his gloves in one hand and just started teeing down. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I am in the right place. So I go down there, and then in the basement of the church is pretty much a fight club, and it was amazing.
Amazing in a, I mean, it's obviously amazing in a good way, but what was the other part?
Well, let me tell you this. You're not going to agree with it.
Why not? Wait, don't tell me what I'm going to agree with it, but
Oh,
go.
you're not going to agree with it, but it's okay. So,
Go.
we
Yeah.
have our studies have showed that when someone has a lot of anger and aggression and just rage, once you choke them out for about 30 to 45 seconds, they're pretty much ready to talk.
So I don't know what studies you're talking about, but I also feel like
We study them every day when we were choking people out, and they would come down there talking about they wanted to kill us. And then once we choked them out, then their head deswelled, and they're like, I got a lot of problems in my life, and I just want somebody to talk to. I'm like, okay, come on, man, let's talk.
I'm pretty sure if I agree with this, I'm going to get discredited, but
Why I said you
Yeah,
wouldn't
but
agree.
sometimes it sucks. I mean, listen, looking back, sometimes I wish that someone had agreed and supported me. So, yeah.
But I mean, the people that I'm talking about are not necessarily the top of the line, like people that you would find. Like, it's definitely people that, like you mentioned before, they all the doors were closed for them. They had no hope in life or society. Nobody wanted to take care of them. They were angry. They was ready to destroy the world. They didn't know where to
But Brian,
turn.
does it matter who it is as long as we've given them hope?
What, no, that's what I'm saying. But it wasn't just whites. It wasn't just blacks. It was everybody of every ethnic group, whether they were white privileged or brown privileged, black privileged, whatever you want to call them, or whether they was raised in a trailer park with a bunch of meth heads. We had everybody come around, and they had.
If we're giving someone a second chance, I'm kind of on board. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, obviously, I don't want anyone to be like, hey, I'm on board, and then kill people, but
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we were equal op. Like, we would choke you out regardless of who you were.
well, although that sounds lovely-ish, like
Listen,
I love the idea. No,
you
no.
asked, and it worked, and we had 100% pass rate. So
But
I
I
don't
love
know.
the idea of someone being able to get a second chance.
But I mean, in all reality, they were hunting. They were hunting us. They came to us. They knew who we were. They knew our names. They knew our trainer's name. They walked in there and asked for him. They said they were there to kill him. They really wanted to cause us harm because their mental health was so, their mind was just clouded with so much emotion they couldn't even think through. They were catastrophizing in the like most textbook way.
And again, in all reality, I can't fucking judge. I'm just glad that there was another option for people who were seeking help and for people that wanted to kill people. Well, we found a
But
we found a place for them too, but I think most of them were just asking for help. And I think
well, no,
that
that's what I mean. Like that's what I mean by saying they were hunting us. They may not have realized what they were doing, but I think subconsciously they were coming to find help, and we gave them that help because when you lose oxygen to your brain, well, let me say this: it takes a lot of energy to be angry. It takes a lot of energy to hate someone. It's
true.
very exhausting.
No,
So
absolutely.
when you cut off someone's blood supply or their oxygen to their brain, they don't have the energy to hold all this anger and emotions in. And it's crazy because we would have people like you would just have these big giant dudes in there and a dude would start crying. We're like, dude, what's wrong? And I know you're gonna disagree, but we would sit down and have Bible study with them, or we'd sit there and talk to them or take them upstairs to the
Wait, what? Why do you? Hold on. Why do you think I would disagree?
Because you always disagree with me when I talk about religion.
Ma, ma, ma. I do not. That's bullshit. That is bullshit. I disagree with you when you use religion as like an excuse, but not when you. God, I think religion is so important to keep people going.
That's my thing. But yeah.
Wait,
So that.
what happened? You just blanked out. Did you give
Well,
in to me?
no. So that happened for like a year and some change. And it was really good for me because that was my outlet. Because it's really weird because I don't like confrontations. And everybody that knows me that listens to this is going to say bullshit. But
I
I'm
would
not
say bullshit
confrontational.
as well, to be perfectly honest.
But I really don't like confrontations. It really does bother me. I don't like to fight. I don't like to hurt people. But I can. And I always felt like there was something inside of me that I was getting out when I was fighting. Because I was too tired to have any emotions that wasn't, how can I say this? I don't want to say
Bluntly,
natural.
bluntly,
What
please.
no, I mean, what I'm trying to say is it wasn't like it was a baseline. That's the word, a baseline emotion. I didn't want anything over a baseline emotion. I didn't want to feel anxiety. I didn't want to feel anger. I didn't want to feel sadness. I didn't want to feel anything. And I was too tired from fighting to have any emotion besides baseline. And when I was at baseline, that's when I was happy, if that makes sense. That was my happy.
It does, but I think happy is, I think it is, I don't know how to say it. I think happy depends on what your expectations are. And I also think it sounds like you went through a lot of shit.
Yeah, but that we'll do a whole different we'll do a whole different thing on that. I'll come on your show and you can psychoanalyze Brian, okay?
Okay, so I will not seek to psychoanalyze you, but I will seek to say, like, happiness is complicated.
Yeah.
My idea of happiness or what I grew up with was, well, was based on what I grew up with, but like, happiness is complex, and I wish I could
Well,
have one idea of what happiness is, but I don't.
let me so growing up, maybe this will help a little bit. Growing up, my idea of success was if I got to the point in my life where I can go to the gas station and fill my car up without worrying about if I was able to feed my kids or pay my light bill. That was my idea of success.
My idea of happiness once I started driving was going to the gas station and not having to worry about counting the change, like counting the change to literally figure out how much I need to get home.
Yeah.
And by the way, like that didn't need to be my situation, and yet it was. Does it make it better or worse? I don't know. It makes it
Well,
scary.
I don't know if y'all have them up there, but do y'all have power stats? Like, it's a little box that's like in your house or in your apartment, or whatever, and you have to take like basically what looks like a credit card and put money on it and then swipe it, and it tells you how much power that you have.
I want to say no, but we just moved, and so I'm kind of like purposely, mentally, you know what? And so I don't know.
So basically what happens is regular people, I would say, or the majority of people have lights cut on by the electric company, and you pay every month based upon whatever you use. Because reasonable people will know, hey, I can't leave all the lights in my house on all day long, or I'm gonna have a high light bill. Well, there are individual people that live either in remote areas or they have bad addictions that prefer to have the electric box, because on electric box, if you manage around $5, you can just put $5 on it, and when it runs out, you just don't have no more lights until you put more money in it. So what would happen is when we would go to the gas station, I would see one of my parents like counting, if they how much money they can use for gas, how much money they can use to buy alcohol, how much they can use to buy dope, and then after they get everything done, then they would put it on the card. That was a really weird sound. You must be drinking wine.
No, so I'm first of all, I am a woman, but I don't drink wine. I do drink whiskey, but
No, it sounded like you pulled the cork out. That, the sound that it when you pull a cork out of a
I
when you sound a
totally
cork out
do,
of
but that wasn't what happened. I actually went to go close the door, but no, like I'm thinking, I hear what you're saying. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that a lot of our parents have fucked up.
Yeah. And see, the whole with all this that we're talking about, that's the whole reason why I wanted to ask you about your idea of the Joker. And because a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, whether it's suicide, bullying, your background, anxiety, happiness, everything comes back to that movie. And the reason why I say that is because it's all in that movie.
At Ruck Up Podcast, we take a little bit of a different approach. We take industry professionals from law enforcement, military, security, and outdoors enthusiasts all around the world, and we hear their story. So let's hear it.
Attack or infiltration or suspected infiltration, and we have to be ready to
We're all allegedly massacred by the Crown Prince, and I was there not to be with that. I arrived the day after.
Check us out at our website at ruckupmedia.com.
100%. Let's go back to the Joker because I apologize. So I 100% got distracted thinking about like similarities, differences, and how we could like make changes. And the truth is, I don't know who the fuck could make changes. But I thought that I had so many trigger moments when
I said LOL.
Yeah, I know you have. When I was so sad that someone didn't step in, and I was not only sad for the Joker, for damn it, I'm forgetting his name. It doesn't matter. But like,
Batman.
no, bitch, for the Phoenix. What is his
Joaquin
name?
Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix, who I
Yeah.
love. But then like a he's not attractive, but he's just sad to me. But like well what? It's important, but like I had so many moments when I was sad for him. And then sad for me, and then sad for people I know.
Well, I think that's the reason why I originally asked you about it, because I really hate the fact that I can't watch a movie without overanalyzing it. Like, I can't just watch a movie and enjoy it. And the whole time...
Well, welcome to the world of psychoanalysis and psychology. I'm sorry. Yeah. But you are much smarter than you think you are, and you are much more equipped to deal with this shit, which doesn't mean you should.
But what I was saying is, you know, a lot of the similarities, even if you didn't match the Joker 100%, I know a lot of people that could have been like, okay, that one portion of this guy is definitely me.
Which portion, please?
No, I mean in general. Now, see, mine would be, well, you know, when he was sitting on the train.
Yeah.
And the guys were picking on the
woman.
Yeah, the one that was either they drugged or she was drunk or whatever. And then, like, he just, like, was so angry. And he was just, like, it was just building inside. That's definitely me. That's, like, 100 me. And
but
I'm afraid of it.
Honestly, and I think it's crazy. In some ways, it's great that it's you, because you have like a good, you have a good heart, clearly. But also, like,
and at that point, you could really say that the Joker's intentions were good. Now, he had a lot of negative that was behind his intention, but the intention of them harassing her and him saying something about it was. Like, one of those situations, like, should he really do anything? Because these guys are what you would call your stereotypical white privileged college kids that have never seen anything in their life that was bad.
True, you know, but...
And the Joker, yeah. You know, it's the difference in, like, okay, going back to our cage fighting, okay?
I'm a little scared of the cage fighting, but let's do it.
No, so there's
I'm really just kidding. I'm really just kidding. Go on.
There's a difference in fighting someone in the cage on a contract for money.
You are more or less just scaring the crap out of me, but keep going. Yeah.
Instead of going on the street and fighting someone that doesn't have.
A contract, you're not making this any better. So here's my thing.
Well, no, I'm being serious. So if you fight someone in the street that has nowhere to go, like they don't care, then they're going to try to kill you. If you fight someone in a cage for a contract, yes, they're trying to beat you up, but they don't have no intention of killing you. But the two situations are completely different. And if you look at those guys, they would be the ones that would be in a cage fight, whereas the Joker would be the one in the street who at that point just didn't care, because when he snapped, he wouldn't have a conscience to stop him. He wouldn't have morals or values. He wouldn't have anything that these kids would have had if he would have actually, well, he did, you know, I mean, you know what ended up happening. And
yeah,
even...
I know, but I mean, Brian, I feel like I was brought up not to have morals or values. I won't even imagine what you were brought up to. Not because I think you were brought up worse or better, but because Jesus, I'm a parent and I make mistakes.
That's a good reason. Jesus. I mean, I could go with that.
And by the way, I don't know what I think of Jesus, because
you said it, not me.
I know, but being brought up as a Jew, like, I think it's more confusing. But being hold on,
we can explain that later.
No, it's not, because being brought up as a person who appreciates that there's something else out there, yeah, like, I'm on board. I don't care what we call it, but I think there has to be something higher than us that is controlling us. Or no, well, that we can turn to.
Well, I'll meet you halfway. Okay. I find people that believe in absolutely nothing to be insane.
I agree. I agree.
Arguing with someone about if they're right or not of a higher power, I see more, it makes more sense to me than someone just to go and say there's nothing.
I think there has to be something because this is going to sound silly, but when my husband kills like a gnat on the ceiling or on the wall, it leaves a trace. So,
well,
I don't know.
Well, I'm sounding like a educated hillbilly.
No, you sound like you're about to insult my gnat comment, but go on.
No, I mean, it's a gnat. It is what it is, you know, but, you know, with the idea of there not being anything and then the universe having nothing and then the world being of nothing and then something happened from nothing, which doesn't make sense because every math class I've ever been in has always told me that 0 + 0 = 0. Not once did it ever equal something besides nothing. So there's that fact, of course. But also, if you think about the issue of like the Big Bang Theory, and you had these atoms that was just hanging out, chilling. And they were like, you know what? I want to be a single cell organism. And then the other atom was like, yeah, we should totally do that. So then you have two single cell organisms sitting there and they're like, hey, I'm tired of being asexual. Let's reproduce. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, I just had this great idea in my head. You know, I'm going to give you some ovaries.
Wait,
you know,
are we against asexual reproduction?
No, because worms still do it. I'm just saying that, you know, these two things that knew nothing, that came from nothing, all of a sudden thought about the fact that they wanted to reproduce physically instead of just asexually.
Sure, I have no, I mean, literally, I think that came out wrong, but I have no opinion about asexual versus non-asexual.
Okay. I'm not talking about the asexual that humans have where they're just like, I just don't feel the need to have sex. If I do it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. I'm talking about the asexual where the organisms are actually split in half to create something from themselves.
So mitochondria.
Well, yeah, but I was trying not to lose people. But yeah. Okay. Since we're going there.
I think we've probably lost people, but I'm really enjoying the conversation.
But you know what I'm saying. That's the reason why I have to believe in something, because I don't see a single cell organism drinking a beer with another single cell organism and then thinking of something as intense as our brain, which here it is in the year 2019 and we still haven't figured out. Endocrine system, the reproductive system, the digestive system. You know, what single cell organism was sitting with the rest of them, chilling, drinking a beer, and was like, hey, I want to be a dung beetle, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I have to think of something, because otherwise I like the thought that, like, if I don't believe in something, my kids will fall for anything, or I will fall for anything. Is it true? Who the fuck knows? But I like that idea.
Well, on a clinical level. Okay. Cause I've had people ask me a lot of times. So our morals and values, okay, because since you're a Jew, it still applies.
So that's fine. I don't take it personally that I'm a Jew, and I don't take it personally that you're pointing that out. So go on.
No, I'm saying, like, since you're a Jew, I think you can understand where I'm coming from, because you're going to know what I'm talking about.
Who knows? I'm also a person, but either way, way, I appreciate your acknowledging the difference, and let's see if we can agree or disagree. Yeah.
But so in the Old Testament or the Torah, you know, when you talk about emotions and feelings, they were given by God. Okay. And which is Yahweh. So Christians and Jews both believe in Yahweh. The big difference is when you go from the Torah or the Old Testament to the New Testament. So strictly Old Testament wise, our emotions were given by God with Adam and Eve when we became like the image of God. Okay, so then the fall happened and all that good stuff. Well, in between the time of then and now, the search for God or getting back with God has advanced us through basically being cavemen to where we are now. So if you take, and I got friends that are atheists, and they're like, well, religion is an excuse for someone to be a good person. And I hate words
like
that. Hold
on, say that again. Religion is an excuse for someone to be a good person?
Right. So basically what they're saying is...
I don't know if I agree. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't either.
I don't think I agree, but go on.
Well, I don't agree with it either. But the thing is that what they're trying to do is form an opinion that supports their ultimate truth. Because atheists have a belief that there is no such thing as the ultimate truth. And then they also fail to realize that their idea that there's no ultimate truth is actually an ultimate truth. So therefore,
but let me ask you a question. You know, I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you. Go on.
It's okay. But no, what I was saying is that's their viewpoint is you can't, that religion is just a way for someone to be a good person. But like we talked about before, with happy and successful and things like that, and good, they're subjective and they're based upon your perspective. And if there was no God, which you know, because in the Torah it says that God gave us the laws.
I have no idea if there was a God, but go on.
No, I'm saying in the Torah, that's what it teaches.
100%,
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying about what the Torah teaches and the Old Testament, which is, you know, our Torah. So, we actually say the Pentateuch. So, but anyways, it teaches that God gave the law. So if God gave the law, then that's legitimately where we got the law. And if you take that, if you take the aspect of God out and the fact that in the Pentateuch and the Old Testament, it says that we were to have domain over the earth. That's the reason why we're different than animals. If you take that, if you take that all out, how could me and you just say me and you were like way back in the day and we're like, you know what? I think I want to make stealing bad. And you're like, why? I don't know. I just think that you shouldn't take something that's somebody else's because there's no reason for it.
No, you're right.
I mean, the advancement of science, the advancement of mental health, the advancement of math, for Christ's sake, navigation, all these things came from the search of a higher power. So our constitution, which was formed by the Iroquois Indians, but was based on religion, is off of it. I mean, that's exactly what our laws are from, and there's no big secret about that. So,
Ryan, you are so right, and it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's crazy that we don't look at the origins of things.
Well, of course not, because if you do that, if you look at how something came about or how something started or you question it, then one, you become uncomfortable because you fear what you believe may be wrong. And nobody wants to admit that they thought something was right for 20 or 30 years of their life and they looked into it and then it was wrong.
True.
A lot of people that I know are, you know, raised in a religion or raised in a certain sect of a denomination, and then they follow that their entire life. And I'm telling you this as a minister, okay? That was loud. They go their entire lives believing something, and you're like, hey, why do you believe this? And they're like, oh, this is what my parents did. Like, so you've never looked into anything and seen what you actually believe. You just go off of what your parents said. And now your kids are going off of what you said, and no one's taking the time to actually stop and look into this. And it's the same thing, like you said, like we were talking about earlier with mental health, is that when it comes to mental health, no one wants to just look at it as for what it is. It's just like, well, this is the way we've always done things. So, you know, that's just what we're going to do.
I agree 100%. I'm so glad we had this. We had this conversation, and
you can write a book on it.
I probably should, but let me know when we air it so we can help each other out.
So we got to finish the Joker since we started on the Joker and never got to it. But I know you got to go because
children. But yeah, I think that the Joker was like a great way to point out how the mental health system has fucked up, lost control, you know, missed opportunities.
Well, if you want to, it's up to you. But if you would like to, we could try to get together again, and I'll just name this part one.
100%. 100%. You know, send me a link and we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll just, because you're so busy. Oh my goodness, you're like all over the place.
Oh my God, I am not. I've had two sick kids.
Well, no, I mean, like, you're moving, you're doing your sick kids, you've been on podcasts, like, you've been.
But we're been, done. Sick kids yeah. are done. And, like, I would love to talk about this more.
Well, I don't know if you celebrate it, but happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and happy holiday and Kwanzaa. You. And I don't know what else is.
Yeah, I don't celebrate being here, Kwanzaa, but like, for the next 3-4 weeks, I have time. So, like, shoot me out a message and let's finish this from a better perspective. I mean, not that bad, but just like.
Well, I think that with your job, obviously, you didn't go to school as long as you did for something that you really didn't enjoy. And I think it would be hard for me to ask someone on the show like you that your whole thing is just interest in people and how people think and act and what make people tick, basically,
get it out of the way. But Brian, I didn't go to school for religion. I went to school for understanding. So I think what you bring to the table is super big.
Well, yeah, I just mean when I ask someone like you're a psychologist, so obviously you're interested in how the brain works and people think and what motivates people and their intrinsic points of views. And I just used a big word that I was trying not to use, but
trigger.
Intrinsic. But like what makes people tick, and it's obviously something that you enjoy. And. And I don't take it as a, you coming on here and asking me questions. I don't take it as a, the podcast was overran. I think it was a real life conversation.
And to be clear, like, I didn't feel uncomfortable with anything you asked me. I hope you didn't feel uncomfortable.
No, I just mean it was a real life conversation, and it's not something that is skidded out, and that's the reason why I listened to your show today, and I listened for so long, because I listened to some podcasts, and it seems like the entire conversation was, which sometimes it's good, but it was boring. It just feels like it's skidded, and when it's skidded, I think you leave out the raw emotion, and when you talk about something like mental health, racism, prejudice, bullying, suicides, anxiety, like you talk about all these trigger conversations. If you leave,
said the word.
I know, right? Yeah. But if you don't use emotion with them, then it's either one or two things. Either people don't think you care, or people just think you're cocky. And it's just something you do to make yourself better. But I think when, like on your stuff, when you was talking about your mom, podcast, you don't say something like that, which if you want to know about Lindsay's mom and that whole thing, make sure you go listen to her last podcast. What was it called?
Something about getting over your past. I don't know. Honestly, it just came out because it needed to, but I appreciate it.
But yeah, but anyways, so that whole episode is one that I'm going to share on my Facebook, and I'm going to tag you in it. But I want to share it because I know a lot of people that parent because that's how their parents parented, or they parent because their parent parented the complete opposite way. So they know what not to do, but not what to do. And honestly, if you wrote a book about that, I would 100% read it.
I am working on it. Right now I'm working on a book on suicidal teens, but regardless, Brian, if I've only touched one person, I appreciate it, because this is the scariest thing I've ever done, to be honest.
What, your book?
My book, my podcast, talking about the truth,
And that's what I think people need. And The reason why I picked the Joker is because there's so many taboo things in it that are actually not as taboo as people think they are. Like sure. when he's sitting on the late night show and pulls the gun out and it's like building up that he wanted to kill himself.
That is amazing. Stop it. That is like, it's an amazing scene.
Well, no, it really is. But I feel like it does multiple things. I think that not only does it bring it to the attention, how far, because if you notice why he was crazy, okay, he had a lot of things going on, but he was managing it kind of okay, just a hair. But people kept just being just evil to this dude.
Agreed.
Agreed.
And by the way, you're the only one who's ever seen, like, you're the only person I know who's seen this. So I'm like, oh my God, when can we talk about this? You know.
But that's the problem. Nobody wants to. People got angry and upset. And honestly, the only reason why I watched the movie, because originally I was told it was stupid, but as soon as like NBC and CBS was talking about like all these kids were like getting triggered and upset and running out of the theaters.
You said the T word, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what the news article says. So I instantly wanted to watch it. Like
Agreed. And like, as I said, I went in a theater and in the middle of the day, felt like an asshole. And like, it was a great movie. It was like, it is probably my top five movies. So.
But it was so, like, if you overanalyze it, instead of just watching it and like being entertained, but you look at his mom, who was obviously a psychopath. So he was raped.
She obviously had psychotic issues, yes. Agreed, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, so he was raised with that, and whether he knew it or not, like you were saying, or I don't remember if it was you or the doctor, because y'all's voice sounds so much alike. But one of y'all was talking about how basically your brain is wired upon how the relationships you, like with your parents and stuff.
Yep.
And obviously the way his brain was working and was wiring with his mom, when he found out that his whole life was based on a lie, that just stacked even more onto this guy.
Did you relate to this, by the way?
So in a way I did.
I did as well. Yeah. I mean, I did it as well. Like my mom kept her true identity a secret from my father. And so like I was the crazy person. So.
But see, that's why I don't understand why people don't talk about it. And I don't know, because I'm not on your side of the table. I'm always on my side of the table.
It doesn't matter.
I'm saying, like what you do as a doctor, you see multiple people. I only see myself.
Yeah.
But and I know what's difficult for me. And obviously, what I'm saying is you're on the other side. So you listen to people talk about what's going on with them. But I know for me personally, things like that are not the easiest things to talk about.
They're not for me either, or for us, or whoever the fuck I'm supposed to be representing. Yeah.
And I don't see people like when he went to his, I don't know what she was, I guess she was supposed to be a counselor. Well, no, she prescribed the medicine.
Social worker, but it doesn't matter. Like my thought was social worker because it was a very basic thing. But
yeah, that makes sense. So, but she kept, like, he was talking and she was just ignoring him. Like, she wasn't even listening. And he called her out on it.
And he should have. Like, he should have gotten better support. Ugh.
And then she's like, oh, well, we're not getting funded anymore, so this is your last one later.
It doesn't matter. He should have gotten better. Okay. So let's find another day to talk about this, because I'm so mad. And so are you.
So I'm not really mad, but I'm really into it. I'm, like, really emotional into it because it's really important to me. But, yes. Dr. Lindsay, if you don't mind talking about your book one more time, your podcast, how people can listen to you or find you or get more involved with you.
No problem. Are you gonna edit it? Is that why you're asking me?
No, because I want to put it in the show. Like I actually want to be the ending of the show.
I love it, but I also think that we should talk more. Okay, so
I thought you wanted.
You thought
Yeah, I thought you wanted to end the episode.
I mean, I do, in that I'm exhausted, but I also would like to like a continuation. So
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we can do a part two. So we'll just end this here and then meet up in a week or so, whenever you're not super busy, and we'll just
whenever you don't use LOL.
Yeah. Oh no, you do realize that as much as I know it triggers you, it's going to be in every sentence.
And totally fine as long as I can mock you. So.
Oh, of course. Like, why? It's a two-way street. who wants to be in a one-way? I mean, why would you want it to be a one-way street? Totally. But no, yeah. If you want to meet up in like a week or so, we can do it. But if you just want to give out your information again, so we can make sure people follow you, because I think that parents that have adolescents will really enjoy listening to you. I think that moms will really enjoy listening to you, but I also think that dads, although you use the word mom a lot in your shows, I really do think that if dads can get over the fact that you say mom all the time, just kidding, but no, I really do think that anybody that is a parent or has children, whether they're, you know, they're stepkids or half kids or adopted kids, whatever the situation may be, they can actually learn something from you. Like in your last episode, there's the idea of how children connect with adults. It's kind of like a no-brainer, but you don't understand the fundamentals behind it. Like, you know it's there, but you can't articulate what it actually does. And when you listen to the episode that you had, y'all actually break that down to where someone can actually be like, hey, I know this is common sense, but people don't use it. So let me actually explain what's happening 100%. In your kids, in kids' minds when when they're crying and you coddle them, or, you know, they're crying and you just ignore them, you know, you're causing what type of relationship you're going to have with your child.
I agree. Okay. Ready? Hi, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. My name is Dr. Lindsay Wisner. You can find me at neuroticnourishment.com. You can find me at Psych Shrink Mom or at 10 Steps to Finding Happy. Please, please, please tune in. I don't think that happiness always has to be a constant, but we do think it's something we can work on. The whole we thing might be a little crazy, but I would love
you talk about multiple yous, right? Not you and me.
Come on, I was doing it. All right, I'll start again. It was funny. Ready?
Oh no, just keep going. I'm not editing it. Just finish it. just finish your spiel. Hey, welcome back.
That went well. So, moving on.
Yeah, so give your spiel again, and then I'll close out, and then you can go enjoy your time away from me for, like, a week.
Enjoy, medium enjoy. Okay, so, again, you have been listening to Dr. Lindsay Wisner. I have a podcast at I have a podcast at Neurotic Nourishment. It is available at most of the places the podcasts you listen to are heard of. If you listen to podcasts, you probably know all of them. I have nothing to share. I also have a book coming out, 10 Steps to Finding Happy. And although I'd like to say you can find happy more, I would like to say you can find happier by retraining your brain and the neurotransmitters to work in a certain way. You can also follow me at Psych Shrink Mom at Instagram, at 10 Steps Finding Happy, also at Instagram, and at Neurotic Nourishment, also at Instagram. Apologies profusely. I did not think we would have to do these all the same thing when I signed up for it, but whatevs. Thank you so much for listening to Brian's podcast.
And thank you, Doc, for coming on. I know it was like crazy how we met and like the whole thing, but I hope, you know, we're good now, and you know that I'm not just like some, well, You may not think that I'm something.
You absolutely do say LOL too much, but I do respect you, adore you, and I can't wait to come on again closer to the book review and to whatever else you have to launch to talk about it.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any segments of your book?
I do. I can send you a PDF file when we get off the phone.
Yeah, if you'll do that, then, you know, if you don't mind, I'll start going ahead and reading through it and then taking, like, snig bits after you approve it and you know, put it on my statuses and stuff and try to get people.
Brian, I don't need to approve it, and I also would love if you, like, post a review or two or bribed your listeners with a...
Well, I don't know what the legality is. That's the reason why I was asking. I didn't know. You know,
I appreciate it. Honestly, I think this book is a first starter, a first step, and it has a lot of, like, it has a lot of help to give, and for whatever comes next, hopefully we'll give more help.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate it, and this
By
has
the
been
way, a- listeners, how cute is he when he says, yes, ma'am, and he says it all the time. All okay, right. Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you, listeners.
I have people all the time that tell me it makes them feel old. I'm like, it's not that. It's that I spent my whole adult life in the Army and I was raised in the South. It's just beat into me. Like, you know, it's natural.
I feel like it's respectful. It's cute. It's endearing. I have no problem with it. Well, so I appreciate it.
If it makes you feel better.
I would shoot you.
If it makes you feel better, I do it to my waitresses and waiters. I do it to my cashiers. I do it to janitors. I do it to the people that stay in a bathroom to, like, give you a paper towel. Like, I do it to everybody. So it's like an equal opportunity type thing.
Well, I appreciate it. And I'm pretty sure so will they. Great. So send me the recording tomorrow and we can chat more.
Yes, ma'am. Well, this has been The Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear.
You should listen to the Lock on Everything.